Hey, 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 it's Monday morning. Another episode of Snipes and Stripes, the weekend edition. Unfortunately, my partner, Jeremy Roenick, will not be with me this morning. This guy travels more than the President of the United States, I think. He is all over the world all the time. I don't know how he does it at his age, too. JR, you're not getting any younger, buddy, okay? But I'm looking forward. We've got a lot to talk about this morning. A lot of big things happening in the NHL since last Friday. Friday was the trade deadline. I love the trade deadline because it kind of teams that maybe are trying to push to get into the playoffs sometimes make moves. Teams that are at the top that are looking for a special player to get them over the top, they make a move. But you know what? Some of the best moves are the ones you don't make. And right off the bat, I'm going to reference Lou Lamoriello and the New York Islanders. The New York Islanders have won 6 games in a row. They are right now in a playoff position today. That's unbelievable. 10, 12 days ago, I thought the New York Islanders were toast. JR and I have a lot of expectations and a lot of confidence in Patrick Roy, but they were floundering a little bit. And you know what, though, in fairness to St. Patrick Roy, it kind of takes time for when a new coach comes in, new systems, new personalities, to kind of adjust and really come together as a team. New York has now won 6 games in a row. They are tied with Detroit. Talk about going the wrong way. Detroit has lost 5 games in a row. And when we did our show, you know, a week or 10 days ago, or one of our last shows, I thought Detroit was going to be into the playoffs. No problems. They were looking good. They were playing good. Patty Kane was on fire, which is really hard to do coming back from that hip surgery that he had. But right now, the Islanders they're only 2 points behind Philly and 2 points behind Tampa. So, and the reason that I mentioned about sometimes the best moves are the ones you don't make. Last year, for example, Toronto and the New York Rangers both made some drastic moves at the trade deadline. New York brought in Tarasenko, they brought in Patrick Kane, and they were out in the first round. It's really, I've seen it over my career and I've seen it the last few years. It's really difficult for a player to come into a new team and make an impact on that team. I haven't seen it happen very, very often. And the reason I say that, it takes a player a while to get adjusted to a new city. He's probably living away from his wife and kids because he's been traded, getting adjusted to his new teammates. So it takes some time to feel comfortable in that city and with that team you're playing in. So the Islanders didn't make any moves at the trade deadline. They kind of stayed pat. And I'm very impressed with them right now. They're doing it. They're on a roll. And Philly and Tampa, I don't know. You know, Philly, They traded Walker to Colorado. They got smoked yesterday in Tampa. They were down 4-0 in the first period. I'm sure everybody in the hockey world is talking today because one of the most fiery and respected men in hockey, John Tortorella, was thrown out of the hockey game yesterday in the first period. And he was thrown out by who I consider the best referee in the NHL, Wes McCauley. And Wes doesn't take any bullshit. He doesn't, you know what? There's a respect factor for the coaches. There's a respect factor for the players. And there's got to be a respect factor with the officials as well. And I've got a tremendous amount of respect for Wes McCauley. People are asking me, should he have thrown out Torts? I don't know. I don't know if he should have. And people are like, what do you mean you don't know? Well, I don't know what was said. I don't know if torts cross that line of emotion into abuse. It's okay to have emotion and it's good to have emotion, but did he cross that line and say something to Wes that Wes is like, okay, torts, you have crossed the line and you're gone out of the game. Now, the NHL acted on it very quickly. They acted on it very quickly, and they not only fined John Tortorella $50,000, they also suspended him for 2 games. And I cannot remember the last time a coach was suspended 2 games for disrespecting or abuse of an official, but the NHL acted on this very quickly, which makes me think, because what would happen is, for our listeners out there, Wes McCauley would get back to his hotel room in Tampa, and he would have to write up a official's game report. And in that game report, it goes to Stephen Wacom, the director of officiating, Coley Campbell, the president of hockey operations, and to Gary Bettman and Bill Daly. And Wes would specifically point out what was said, what went down, how it all went down. And from that report, the NHL then determines what the punishment is. And to me, I'm thinking it had to be pretty bad. I don't want us to take the emotion out of the game. And I say that a lot on these shows. We can't take the emotion out of the game. It seems that the coaches are on a very short rope right now. We've seen Greg Cronin was kicked out back in October. Jay Woodcroft was kicked out back in October. Sheldon Keefe was just kicked out a few weeks ago in Toronto by referee Garrett Rank. I don't want us to lose the emotion in our game, but there also has to be a respect factor between the coaches and the officials. And the coaches cannot show up the officials, just like the officials don't show up the coaches. But saying that, I also sometimes think the league's a little too quick to fine these coaches for showing emotion on the bench, for getting riled up. And there's a difference between emotion and abuse. If the coach is showing emotion, I don't have a problem with that, and I don't think the league really does. But when they get abusive, and if the language becomes abusive, then I think that's when the league steps in. So, you know what? It's I love torts. I've got a great John Tortorella story. Back 6-7 years ago, I was reffing in Montreal, and Nick Foligno, John Tortorella's head captain, I gave Nick a penalty in Montreal, and going to the bench, Nick said, "You don't blank respect me." And that was the complete opposite of what I thought of Nick Foligno. I respected Nick Foligno so much. He was the captain of the team. He was the leader. He fought. He scored. I just respected so much about his game. I knew his dad, Mike Foligno. He was a coach in Hershey when I was in the American League trying to make my way up to the NHL. Mike Foligno couldn't have been any better to me. So I always kind of had a soft spot for Nick and for Marcus Foligno that plays in Minnesota. So approximately a month later, I had Columbus again in Columbus, got to the rink early, went down, knocked on the coach's door, and I asked to speak to Nick. And Torts said, absolutely, him and Bradshaw. They bring Nick in. Nick comes in. I say to Nick, I said, "The other night in Montreal, you said I didn't respect you." I said, "That couldn't be further from the truth. I have the utmost respect for you. I love how you play." And I went on about how much I loved how he plays the game and respected him. And afterwards, him and I hugged and he left. And after that, Nick and I we continued to have a good relationship after that. But when he left the room, Torts looked at me and he goes, "We friggin' need more of that. we need more of that, where the players and the referees can get together and hash it out. And so I love John Tortorella. I know the type of person John Tortorella is off the ice. He loves animals. He's always doing stuff for homeless shelters, for, or shelters for dogs. He supports the military, a lot of the same values that I have. He's a family man, but he can cross the line. He crossed the line a few times when I officiated him. I didn't throw him out, and right or wrong, I don't know whether I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. I never threw out a coach in the NHL. The only coach I ever threw out was in the American Hockey League, and it was one of my longtime idols, Rick Vive, who I, when he was playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs, I grew up loving Rick Vive. So I wasn't a coach thrower. I tried to get along with the coaches. Wes McCauley's got is one of the best communicators in the NHL, if not the best communicator. That's why when the poll came out approximately a month ago by the players, who is the best ref in the NHL, who are the top five refs, Wes McCauley was at the top of the list. So enough of that. We'll move on. Let's talk about some trades. And this is a contentious issue, it seems to be, not only with just the fans of the National Hockey League, but also reading some quotes the last few days with some anonymous GMs. And that is the Vegas Golden Knights picking up Noah Hanifin and Anthony Mantha, and then picking up Thomas Hertel from the San Jose Sharks, which is a tremendous pickup. He's hurt right now. He's got a knee injury. But landing those three players, first of all, they had an incredible team to begin with, defending Stanley Cup champions, big on the back end. Their smallest defenseman's Alex Martinez, who's 6'2". They bring up Noah Hanifin, who can log 25, 27 minutes a night. The guy's a stud. And then picking up Anthony Mantha, who's a big boy. Hertel's a big boy. So there's a lot of chatter going on that because Mark Stone is on the long-term injury reserve list again. People go, I can't believe Vegas is able to do this again, much like people were crying when Kucherov went on LTIR, when Tampa won the cup and then he came back for the playoffs. But Mark Stone's got a lacerated spleen. This isn't, well, he might have knee injury, might not. He's got a lacerated spleen. Like, this is a severe injury. But he may be back for the playoffs. And if he is, and then you add Thomas Hertl in there, Anthony Mantha, Noah Hanifin, Marchessault. So that lineup is just, they're so deep. That would be my favorite to win the Stanley Cup again. And you got to give Kelly McCrimmon is got to be one of the most aggressive GMs in the NHL. He does a tremendous job. If I'm a player in the National Hockey League, I want to play for Vegas. No state tax, beautiful weather, beautiful building, tremendous fans. Their owner, Foley, is he'll it looks like he'll just do anything to win. A lot of respect for that franchise, and we'll see what happens, but it's going to be interesting. Some other pickups that I really like. I've loved the Winnipeg Jets all year. This is a team that I don't think a lot of people thought was going to be as good as they are this year. They went 35 games with only allowing 2 goals or less. That is really tough to do in the National Hockey League. They've got one of the best goaltenders in the NHL. I think the best goaltender, probably going to win the Vezina this year in Connor Hellebuck. But then they bring up or they trade for Tyler Toffoli from New Jersey. Tyler Toffoli is one of those quiet players in the NHL, big time player when it comes to big games and playoff games. He's going to fit in with that team perfectly. So I'm really excited to watch that. Tampa picks up Duclair. You know what? I think he scored his first. In fact, I know he scored his first or second game. He'll fit in nicely there. Florida picked up Vladimir Tarasenko. When they made that trade, I got to see Vladdy a lot. I reffed him his entire career, but I got to see him a lot, obviously playing for the St. Louis Blues and me living in St. Louis. And the last couple of years, it isn't the Vladdy that won the cup in 2019. And then, listen, he's getting older, but he's had a tremendous career. I wasn't sure the fit there in Florida, but then I started to think about it more. And the Russian players really feel more comfortable when they're around fellow Russian players. And that might be a little hard for North Americans to understand, but I understand it. And he's now with Sasha Barkov in Florida. And Vladdy scored 2 goals on the weekend. He looked happy. His family was there on the glass. He was kissing his kids. What's not to like? He went from Ottawa, where it's probably minus 20 and snowy, and he's driving a pickup truck, to driving a golf cart to practice, wearing flip-flops and shorts. His wife's on the beach on a day off with the kids. I think Florida, Bill Zito, compliments to you. I think this is a great pickup for Florida. Edmonton Oilers. They're already humming. Connor McDavid is on fire again. 3 more points last night. But they were a little weak on the third and fourth lines. My good friend Jamal Mayers, who played in the NHL, we were at a game this year in St. Louis. And we went to the game together, and we were talking about Edmonton and, do they have what it takes to get to the next level? Do they have what it takes to get and win a Stanley Cup? Well, they went out and made a trade with Anaheim, picked up Adam Henrique, very solid veteran NHL player, knows how to play in the playoffs, good teammate. I love the guy. Loved him the entire time I refereed him in the NHL. Then they picked up a little sandpaper too in Sam Carrick. Sam Carrick is a great fourth line player for that team. He's going to add a lot of depth. That's what everybody knows in the NHL. The Edmonton Oilers didn't need to add scoring. They needed to add depth to their third and fourth lines. Picking up Henrique and Sam Carrick does that for them. And then also picking up Troy Stetcher. He's a solid, legit D-man in the NHL. You're going to have injuries in the playoffs. And Edmonton were running with 6D for a while and not a lot in the press box as far as extras. They were really fortunate that they didn't get a lot of injuries over the last little while because they really didn't have the depth in D, and that's going to help them out a lot. The big one that everybody was talking about, they were wondering, what was Pittsburgh going to do with Jake Guentzel? Jake Guentzel is a legit 40-goal man in the NHL. But he's a UFA, unrestricted free agent after the season. And Pittsburgh, unfortunately, is in a position right now where, and I hate to use the word rebuild or retool because Sidney Crosby is still playing amazing. He is a stud, but he can't do it by himself. Evgeny Malkin isn't the player that he used to be. And so they had to trade him. It was a tough decision for Dubas. They got a lot back. They did really well in the trade, and I think it's going to bode well for Pittsburgh in a few years. But they made a trade with Carolina, and I don't think people saw. Carolina usually isn't a big player at the trade deadline. Tom Dundon, the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, who owns Topgolf, good for you, Tom. And his general manager is Don Waddell. And for anybody who doesn't know Donnie Waddell has been in hockey as long and well before I have. But when I was in the International Hockey League back in 1995, 96, Don Waddell was the general manager of the Orlando Solar Bears going back then. And after the game, Donnie, win or lose, Donnie was the guy. He'd come into the dressing room, make sure everything was good with us. Did we need anything? Everybody in hockey loves Don Waddell, but he wasn't really a big player when people think about GMs that are make trades at the trade deadline. And he pulled off a phenomenal trade in getting Jake Guentzel and Kuznetsov from Washington. And to an already potent lineup, they won yesterday, I think 7-2. This is a great, great hockey club. And I'm really excited for the fans of Carolina. They've got tremendous fans there. I loved working playoff games there. They tailgate for 2-3 hours before the game. It's a tremendous atmosphere in there. It's going to come down to goaltending for them. Anderson, I think, is coming back or is back, but he's been prone to injuries the last few years. So good on Carolina. The Leafs, the Toronto Maple Leafs, very hot topic in hockey. The Toronto Maple Leafs, the fans think that I don't like them. Couldn't be further from the truth. I just get a little tired of the whining and complaining that their fans do. It seems to always be about the officiating. But they need some help on the back end. You know, they've got a decent D. They did very well. Obviously, you know, their defensemen are NHL caliber players. But when you take their D and match it up against a Carolina, a Colorado, a Vegas, Winnipeg, they don't match up very well. But what they did lack, they lacked a little bit of toughness back there, and they picked up Joel Edmondson from the Washington Capitals, which I thought was a great pickup. They picked up Labushkin a week before the trade deadline from Anaheim. He's a little slower, but they picked up two guys that are built for the playoffs, two guys that can wear you down, make it hard on players, make it hard on players in front of the net. You know, they play a line, they play a game where they're on the borderline every shift of taking a penalty, especially Joel Edmondson with the stick and cross checks and so on. But guess what? That's what you need in the playoffs. You need guys that are willing to pay the price and play a different style than what players are used to in the regular season. A Joel Edmondson will bring that to them. Got to talk about my good buddy, Pat Maroon, the big rig, going to Boston. I talked to Patty approximately 3 weeks ago because I saw that he had back surgery, and I called him up because he had been on Snipes and Stripes and was awesome on our show. And I called him up. I'm like, what the hell is going on? He had back surgery. He goes, yeah, but it's a minor procedure. He goes, I'm just a little disappointed because I'm not going to get back in time for the trade deadline. I'll probably get back about a week after the trade deadline. And I was hoping if our team wasn't in the hunt, that I would get traded to a possible contender. Well, who trades for him is Don Sweeney, the general manager of Boston, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for. He grew up about an hour from me in Canada. Back in the 80s, he went to Harvard on a hockey scholarship, which was unheard of in the area that we lived in. And Don makes a trade for Pat Maroon, the big rig. And it's so funny because Pat, you know, going back to 2019, hates Boston. He hates the Boston players. He hates Marchand. Obviously he's not going to now because he's playing for them. But you know, Pat was in their heads. Pat was a big reason why the Blues won the Cup in 2019. But Pat is a perfect fit for Boston. The fans there are going to love him. He'll fight. He'll grind. He'll muck it up in the corners. He's great down low, protecting the puck, getting it out front. And I think it's a good pickup by Don. I'm interested to see what our good friend, I'm being facetious, but our Jack Edwards, who is the play-by-play man for the Boston Bruins. Jack this year, or was it this year or last year, fat chained Pat Maroon on air during a game. It was disgusting what Jack said about him, to the point that Pat raised money and put it towards mental awareness and mental health and so on, people that struggle with certain things. And Jack Edwards, who I'll be honest, I don't have a lot of respect for. He makes fun of players. He's disrespectful to opponents. I don't know how the people with Nesson, the poor people in Massachusetts, have to listen to him night in and night out, because I think he's the worst play-by-play announcer in the NHL. Doesn't do anything to promote the game. All he does is want to beat up the league, beat up the officials. So it'll be interesting to see how that trade works. Talking about Colorado Avalanche, they picked up a couple players at the trade deadline. Sean Walker from Philadelphia, good solid defenseman. And then they traded Bo Byram to Buffalo, which was I was a little surprised, but that just shows you how deep Colorado is. Then they got rid of Ryan Johansson, who I've never been a big fan of. Traded him to Philly. Philly immediately put him on waivers. Looks like his days are numbered in the NHL. But yesterday or the day before, Colorado announced that Logan O'Connor, who outside of Calgary's forward, I'm trying to think of the name. Logan O'Connor, I think, is one of the top two or three penalty killers in the NHL. Kid's got a tremendous amount of speed, scored a bunch of shorthanded goals this year. That's going to be a real loss for them. But they're deep, and hopefully they'll be able to recover from that. Also, staying on Colorado, looks like Gabriel Landeskog might be back for the playoffs. And can you imagine that already potent lineup? I know he's been hurt. I know he's been off for a long time. But just his presence in the dressing room, if he's able to get back, is going to mean so much to that lineup. Gabriel Landeskog is a guy that I love. We had our battles on the ice, but I hope he respected me, because I certainly respected him. But having that veteran presence in their locker room will take a little bit of heat off Nathan MacKinnon, because I don't think Nathan MacKinnon likes to always be the guy that want, you know, Nathan MacKinnon wants to lead on the ice. I don't think he's the guy in the dressing room that leads that team. He leads by example on the ice because of the phenomenal player he is. So this is the best time of year. This is the best time of year because it's the middle of March. As a referee, I love this time of year. I hated January, February. You're traveling. It's gray outside. It's snowing. All of a sudden, March rolls around. You can just feel and smell the playoffs are right around the corner. Every team now has less than 17, 18 games to go. The playoffs are going to start a little later this year in April, but this is the best time of year. I can't wait for the playoffs to get going. We are in for some incredible playoff series, and I'm looking forward to it. I want to thank BetOnline for continuing to be a sponsor. Want to thank Whiskey in the Wild. And I also want to thank my new project, Protected Neck Guards. You can get a hold of me on social media. We have made neck guards to protect our youth players and hopefully save lives. And thank you to the listeners. Shout out to No Filter, Bleav, and Caffeine TV. Looking forward to having my partner back on Wednesday. And everybody enjoy the hockey games tonight, and have a great, great day. Take care.